Pray with me. Father, we thank you for your name, for your character, for your person. We ask that you would bless the word today. May it find a very special place in our hearts and remain forever. Amen. The title of our message for this afternoon, God to the rescue. God to the rescue. After a busy day of ministry, according to the Gospel of St. Mark, the scripture that was read, the sixth chapter, Jesus sent his disciples across the Sea of Galilee while he stayed behind to pray. Daylight was fading, and sometimes it happens, a storm came sweeping down from the mountains, churning up the sea and churning it into a dangerous cauldron. And so, as you look at this story of the storm and God coming to the rescue, I've always been a little confused as I've read this passage that Jesus sends his disciples away and he goes to pray. But when you read the scriptures, you'll find out that as they got in the middle of the lake, it says Jesus saw his disciples. And it's a little confusion, but when you read commentaries, what it really says, Jesus went to pray, and his disciples really, they really didn't want to go to the other side by themselves. They really wanted Jesus to be with them. So they stayed around a while, even though it said immediately they went to their boats, they didn't get on the water right away. They kind of waited around. It was a very important time. The people wanted to crown Jesus Lord. And they were all feeling the moment. And so they kind of waited around for Jesus to finish praying. Jesus took a little longer than they thought. So they launched out into the water. The journey should have taken 2 hours. But the storm that they found themselves in was quite a storm. Let me share with you the kind of storm they found themselves in. The Bible says, Jesus watched them from the shore while the disciples were straining at the oars because the wind was against them. What it means in the original language, and you'll see it in some commentaries, that they were experiencing great pain and torment as they rowed. In fact, they were rowing for their very lives. The wind was contrary to them. It was antagonistic against their purpose, which is to get to the other side. And they were fighting for every inch. I don't know if you've ever been in a situation where you were rowing and not going anywhere. That was the situation. They were rowing, but not moving. And when, by the time we see Jesus from the shore looking at them, it's 5 hours or more later. So they have been straining. They are literally fighting for their lives. They are afraid. And I imagine they're shouting and screaming as if someone would hear them. Jesus hears them. Jesus hears their cry. The Bible says Jesus saw them. He watched the whole struggle. And now he was about to meet their greatest need. And Jesus did something miraculously. I'm talking about God to the rescue. Jesus walked into the teeth of the wind. Wind so strong that the disciples have been rowing for hours and getting nowhere, Jesus walks through it. He walks through it walks on the water. You know, the disciples, when they saw a man in the dark walking on the water, they thought they were delirious. But it was Jesus. Jesus had to encourage them. They were worried about who that was. Jesus said, "Don't be afraid. It is I. It is I." And he climbed into the boat, and the wind died down. Oh, I love that story. God to the rescue. You know, God had another rescue mission. He came early. The Bible says when the fullness of time had come, when it was the right time and all of the world was under the Roman yoke, at least they had a common language. Everyone, they had other languages, but they knew Greek so they could communicate together. Jesus decided to rescue planet Earth. Guess what he did? He stepped into this world. This is amazing. He stepped into the world when the world really needed him. It was a world in which Satan was trying to take control and turn people from the true God. But yet, unfortunately, you know what Satan's greatest victory was? By the time that Jesus decided to come for this rescue plan, God's people were supposed to carry the truth of God to the world. When Jesus came, they were hardly carrying anything at all. Their light had been reduced to a flicker. And you know, the only one that knew about Jesus coming as a Messiah and that the time was right was somebody from another religion. Isn't that something? The wise men. They weren't even Seventh-day Adventists. If anybody should have known about the coming, it should have been Seventh-day Adventists. It was somebody from another church. Aren't you amazed by that? But I have to admit, God needed to rescue us. He saw the predicament of the world. He saw our weaknesses and our failings. And he saw our tears and he weighed our burdens. And so he devised a plan. I use the word brilliant, but that's not the right word. I don't have a better word. No one could devise a plan like this. No angel and no devil. Only God could come up with this. So God says, I am going to become a baby. What kind of plan is that? What kind of rescue plan is that? I'm going to become a baby. Baby is helpless. But he devised a plan. He decided that he would become one of us. And I love this scripture. We read it all the time this time of the year. Luke 2 and verse 11 says, "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." Oh, mercy. What a text. "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." His plan was to become one of us. You know, even if he would have come to this earth like Adam and Eve before they sinned, he would have still been giving up more than we can imagine. But he decided that he would come after thousands of years of sin. So he came with the weakness, physical pains, the problems of this world. But he came to give us an example of a life fully dedicated to his Father. And that life that's fully dedicated to his Father is a life without sin. And the only people that was ready for the rescue were some shepherds and some wise men. And then God to the rescue. As strange as the rescue attempt in the beginning as a child, it's even more interesting at the end of his life. He comes up with another rescue plan at the end of his life, found in Mark 15th chapter. I'll read a few verses to you. This is God's rescue plan. I want you to see it. Mark 15, 25, verses 25 and 27. I want you to see this rescue plan at the end of his life. Verse 25. Now it was the third hour when they crucify him, and the inscription of his accusation was written above the King of the Jews. And with him they also crucified two robbers, one on his right and the other on his left. In verse 33 through 37, now when the sixth hour had come, there was darkness over the whole land until the ninth hour. And at the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, saying, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani, which is translated, my God, why have you forsaken me? Verse 35, and some of those who stood by when they heard that said, look, he is calling for Elijah. Then someone ran and filled a sponge full of sour wine and put it on a reed and offered it to him to drink, saying, let him alone. Let's see if Elijah will come down and will come and take him down. And Jesus cried out with a loud voice and breathed his last. Jesus came as a baby to die on the cross as a man. That was his rescue plan. How many of you have ever asked God for something? I mean, you really needed it. At least you thought you needed it. Really bad. You really needed an answer. And God did not come through the way you want. Let me see your hand. Thank you for being honest. I've probably told this story before. You know, after a while, you forget where you told what at. So if I've told you before, just act like you never heard it. But Michael, I'm pointing at Michael because his son is now at the church where I pastored. And this is where this story happened. So I have to acknowledge it. Isn't that a small world? His son is at the church I pastored. You have to know what's going on, so I had to preface that. When I went to that church, I was just fresh out of the seminary. I had all that knowledge. And I ended up in my church, and there was a man there, and someone had been working with him before I got there. And I was privileged a month later after I was there to baptize him. And what a joy that was to, you know, you hear all this in school, but the first time you have an opportunity to baptize a soul, what a thrilling experience that was. And I remembered him, and I remember that moment, still do, after all of those years. But you know, a week or two later, that man was in a coma. And so, you know, taking all this armed knowledge and whatever, And you know, I was there in the hospital with he had a godly mother, and there with his family, with his wife and his children, and we prayed. Danny, you talking about praying. We prayed. I think we prayed 2 whole days. I'm convinced. It just seemed like, you know, every year it embellishes more, but it seemed like I was there 2 days. And that young man died. And I wondered, I said, well, Lord, you know, maybe I wasn't strong enough. Maybe there was something in my life. You start going through all of those things in your mind when things don't happen. Let me tell you something. God to the rescue does not mean that God is going to answer everything you ask for. He's going to take you out of every situation. You're never going to have things, you know, come out the way you want. It doesn't work that way. You got to get that. You know how God works? You know what he came for? I'll just give it to you. A few easy Bible texts. He came, first of all, to save us from our sins. 1 John 3 and verse 5. You know that he appeared so that he might take away our sins. That's the Bible. That's why Jesus came, God to the rescue. And in him is no sin. You know, God wanted us to know the joy and blessing of being released from the crushing load of sin. If you don't repent of your sins and turn your life over to Jesus, you'll never be totally happy and secure. Your sins will eventually weigh you down. You know, I even meet so-called Christians who still are weighted down. Jesus came to take away that crushing load on us. Do you know that? Oh, do you know that, Fallbrook? He came to take that crush of the load off of you. Second, he came to destroy the works of the devil. 1 John 3 and verse 8, the reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the works of the devil. You can look at those passages. That's exactly what they say. That's why he came. He came to undo the mess of the devil. And the devil has got the world in a mess. He wants to make sure that Satan's desires for you will not be accomplished. And then finally, I believe that he came to reveal the Father. Whenever you read about God, Jesus blessing and healing and comforting and delivering, you are looking at the very heart of who God is. It's the heart of love. God to the rescue. That's what he came with. There's a story that I followed closely this year. You know, there's some stories grip you, some of them you pay no attention, some a little closer. This one I paid close attention to. Bob Murray, who is the CEO of Murray Energy, said these words, "I will never come back to this evil mountain." Well, who's Bob Murray and why did he say that? Well, about 120 miles southeast of Salt Lake City, Utah, there was a massive rescue attempt this past August. I don't know if you remembered it. It was specifically in Huntington, Utah. There was a series of earthquakes. The article called them seismic jolts that caused the Crandall Canyon mine to bury 6 men. Do you remember that story? And Bob Murray was the CEO of that whole operation. And so they gathered together a host of volunteers and service workers went to rescue those six men. They were drilling holes down into the mountains, seven holes, hoping that they might find some evidence that those men were alive. They would drop robotic cameras in and kind of look around, trying to find those men. No success. 12 days later, they decided to send in a rescue team. So they got nine men who they sent to rescue the six. And they used the support beams and things to keep the mountain from falling, and the strongest available. But wouldn't you know, when the rescue team went in, there was another seismic jolt. And they say that those support beams, the strongest available, they snapped like twigs. And three of the rescuers died. 29-year-old Brandon Kimber and 48-year-old Dale Black and 53-year-old Gary Jensen going in to rescue somebody else lost their lives. And so Bob Murray, the CEO, after that filed paperwork with the federal regulators to permanently close and seal the Utah mine. Where was God when those families were joining together in church, praying and huddling together, waiting for the rescue of their loved ones? Let me tell you something. The only answer I can give to that is that there is a day coming when God will do a final rescue. That's the only answer I have. We call it resurrection morning. And when God comes back, oh, this thrills my heart. I'm thrilled from the first service. When he comes back, we will never, ever need rescuing again. Oh, help me, Jesus. Forgive me. I'm sorry for holding up my hands in the Adventist church. I just have to. We will never need rescuing again. Oh, help me. Isn't that thrilling? What a God. See, only God can rescue you from death. Amen. That's the only hope we have in some of these stories that we're hearing. Jesus is the answer. Amen. God to the rescue. And let me show you why he's a rescuer. The end of the Bible, I want you to turn as I end Revelation. This is the last chapter of the last book of the Bible. And listen to what it says. Revelation 22. It just thrills my heart. Revelation 22 and verse 7. Behold, I am coming quickly. Blessed is he who keeps the words of the prophecy of this book. I'm going to rescue you. Verse 12, and behold, I am coming quickly, and my reward is with me to give everyone according to his work. For I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. And look at the way the Bible, look at the way the Bible ends. Verse 20, he who testifies to these things says, surely I am coming quickly. Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. That's why I'm a Seventh-day Adventist. Amen. It's okay to celebrate the Advent. Because we celebrate a God that's coming to rescue you and me. Do you believe that? Do you accept that? Oh, you need to, in Jesus' name. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. What a God you are. We need rescuing, Lord. We really do. We thank you, Lord, for coming and saving us from our sins, forgiving us, cleansing us, and making us whole again. Lord, we thank you. And we no longer, Lord, sit under the strain, the load, the crushing load of sin. We put our hands in the righteousness of Christ. Thank you. Lord, we thank you that you are coming to destroy the works of the devil. What a mess he has made of planet Earth. Lord, we thank you that you're going to recreate this old world. And Lord, we thank you that we will in eternity experience your character, your love, and see you face to face forever and ever, never needing to be rescued again. In Jesus' name, amen. We'd like to conclude our service today with one stanza, 626. In a little while, we're going home. 626, stand with me, would you? In a little while, we're going home. First stanza. Let us sing a song that will cheer us by the way. In a little while we're going home. For the night will end in the everlasting day. In a little while we'll go. Oh, in a little while. In a little while, in a little while, we shall cross the billows home. We shall meet at last when the stormy winds are past. In a little while, we're going home. Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen and amen. Thank you. You may be seated.